From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. It is pretty rare for a rock band to stay together for 25 years with its original members. Most bands that do rely on their past hits to keep going. Well, Sonic Youth is an exception in both cases. The band is celebrating its 25th anniversary with a new CD this week. As Joel Rose of member station WHYY reports, it is still trying to turn fans on to sounds from the musical underground.
Sonic Youth has built a respectable, if not huge, following over 25 years with noise like this. The band's new record is one of the most straight-ahead rock albums it's ever made. So you might think Sonic Youth is moving toward the mainstream, but if anything, it's the other way around. Consider this. Producers of the hit TV show Gilmore Girls invited members of the band to play on the show's season finale last month.
Give me hollow stimulation. It's so sleazy to be free. Let's invest in dark creation.
Guitarist Thurston Moore says he and bassist Kim Gordon have been watching the show with their 12-year-old daughter.
Sonic Youth's name was dropped in the show a few times, and we contacted the show through our management and said, like, what's going on here? You know, you're kind of blowing our minds.
Stop! This is private property.
There was a time when Sonic Youth never considered playing on TV, and TV never considered the band. The musicians came together in the downtown New York art scene in the early 1980s, Thurston Moore says they were inspired by the do-it-yourself energy of hardcore and no wave.
It was total punk rock. It was just like, do whatever it takes to sort of make exciting music and don't stress out about not having any kind of traditional technical wherewithal.
He did what he had to do. He asked no questions. He had few conversations.
Thurston Moore was playing around town in a band called The Coachmen when he met Kim Gordon in 1981.
He had this sort of golden glow around him.
I was just hungry. I hadn't eaten in a while.
No, my friend Miranda had said, oh, you know, there's something special about the way he plays guitar. And, you know, he was younger than me, but I just thought, oh, why not?
Gordon and Moore started playing together as Sonic Youth, even though she had never played bass before. They got married in 1984. By then, the band was building a reputation for its wild live shows and for the weird textures it could coax from guitars. The band's other guitarist, Lee Rinaldo, had played in composer Glenn Branca's guitar orchestra. And like Branca, Rinaldo says Sonic Youth employed unusual tunings to get the sounds it wanted.
We're not playing in your typical guitar tuning, so there's no normal chords for us to sort of get our footing with. I mean, we're pretty much making it all up as we go as far as the sounds we're creating. And oftentimes a song will be inspired by just a certain kind of block of sound that somebody creates.
It wasn't just curiosity that drove the band to experiment with odd tunings and techniques. Thurston Moore says there was also an element of necessity.
The guitars that we had early on were thrift store cheap guitars. It was the cheapest guitars because we didn't have any money. And they really sounded horrible, especially when you just tried to play normal guitar with them. But they sounded great if you would sort of get a drumstick and put it under the strings and note it, play on either side of the drumstick.
The band played many of its early gigs in art galleries, not in rock clubs. Lee Rinaldo was trained as a filmmaker. Kim Gordon studied visual art. Music journalist Michael Azarad wrote a book about the American underground scene of the 1980s called Our Band Could Be Your Life. He says Sonic Youth learned a lot from the art world, including how to promote itself without a big record label.
In the art world, one's rap is, you know, one's explanation of one's art is just as important as the art itself. And Sonic Youth picked up on that in a big way. They talked a good game, they courted the press, they did as much as they could to cultivate a kind of a cult of cool around the band. And it worked. They got a very arty crowd.
Sonic Youth eventually did sign with a major label. And that helped it land opening slots for such better-known acts as Neil Young and R.E.M. The band drew its widest attention for the 1988 album Daydream Nation, which this spring was added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. Everybody's talking about the stormy weather. What's a man to do but work out weathers? Despite flirting with the mainstream, Sonic Youth continues to follow its own path. All of the musicians in the band devote time to side projects that range from noise to free improvisation. Just as they got the chance to open for established acts, musicians of Sonic Youth like to pick adventurous younger bands to open for them, says Lee Rinaldo.
Our audience seems to be able to handle whatever kind of weird opening acts we turn them onto. I mean, sometimes it happens to be something like a band like Nirvana or Mudhoney, and other times it's just weird noise crews that we dig up.
There's, you know, second and third generations of kids now who are getting into Sonic Youth.
Author Michael Azarad.
And I think that's a big reason why, is the band's eternal and unquenchable curiosity about music and art in general.
To help those younger bands, the members of Sonic Youth run several small record labels themselves. This year, Sonic Youth used one of those labels to release a live recording it had made of music to accompany a film by the late avant-garde director Stan Brakhage. So after putting so much energy into artier projects, what did Sonic Youth decide to do for its 21st album in 25 years? Pop songs. Songs on the new album, Rather Ripped, are short, at least short by Sonic Youth standards, and they're catchy, says author Michael Azarad.
It may simply mean that after 25 years, Sonic Youth are finally coming to terms with conventional song structure. They had always kind of had this love-hate relationship with it, partially because maybe they weren't so good at it. But on this new album, you can really hear songs that you can sing along to.
Besides, says guitarist Lee Rinaldo, Sonic Youth can't afford to coast on its past hits. It doesn't have any.
You know, we're always most interested in the music we're making currently. I mean, we're going to go out this summer and 70 or 80% of what we play will be from our most recent record.
There aren't many 25-year-old rock bands that will say that. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.
You can hear songs from Sonic Youth then and now at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.